Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of For You From Eve. We are back with a guest episode today. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know I haven't done a guest episode in a super long time. I've been wanting to get back into it. What better way to get back into it than with Kayla Rose, my beautiful friend, host of the Skinny Dipping podcast. I'm so excited that you invited me here today. I'm in the city with her. This is so much fun. And we've been honestly talking for the past like 30 minutes. And we're like, wait, we should probably record. So Kayla, do you want to do a little introduction on where you're from, your age, all that stuff?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Also, I feel so honored that you haven't been having guests on. And then I get to come on. I'm wow.
I've been waiting for a good one.
I feel so honored. Like, the fact that we are pod swapping today at Spotify, I just, like, feel so grateful. Like, you're somebody that I've listened to for a long time. And I also feel like whenever I'm looking at my podcast on Apple Podcasts, yours always, like, comes up too, like, in the suggested. And I just feel like this is so in alignment. And I'm just so grateful to be here. So thank you so much.
I'm so happy to have you here. We were talking actually before we recorded about how different we are. Like, if you were to look at our podcast covers or our Instagram, you would think we are, like, complete opposites.
Totally.
But then we met and we're like, wait, we're actually, like, really similar. I could probably talk for hours, which we will be today.
Totally. I feel like also you have such, like, a clean girl aesthetic, too, where I feel like my podcast is very, like, I have, like, the funky cover art and kind of more, like, the, like, that, like, 70s, like, colorful
hippie
vibe.
Like, I love
kinda
that.
Kind of hippie. Like, and even, like, the what I'm wearing today, but honestly, I'm also, like, a girl boss at heart, too.
Yeah,
I feel like
sure.
I have both sides. Just, like, I love being in the city here and kind of taking on that persona, but I'm actually leaning into introductions. I'm actually from Maui, Hawaii, and I'm born and raised there, and that is my home. So I feel like I'm also just, like, a nature girl, an ocean girl, a mountain girl, a river girl, and that always, like, deeply grounds me. But then, like, I meet more, like, city girls, and I'm like, I also am like this too.
Yeah.
Like,
which I'm so envious of you that you are an ocean, mountain, nature girl, because I feel like I try so hard to be one, but I'm like, where do I do that here? Like, Central Park? Like, I can't be grounding at Central Park.
Yeah, no. You can be grounded. You just gotta find a tree. Like, trees are such an easy way to just ground yourself by, like, putting your back and your spine against it kind of, like, aligns you with the earth. But obviously it's a little bit more difficult in this big, crazy city to ground yourself. But I do think it can happen anywhere. And I just, like, leading into more about me, I talk a lot about mental health and the mind and the body and the soul and just getting into alignment with what it means to be our most authentic self. I think that's what I really love to lean into. And also vulnerability. Skinny dipping is about, like, stripping down and diving in. So it's, like, getting vulnerable. Like, it's not like we're actually getting naked and going in the ocean, but it's, like, in a mental way when we dive into ourselves and why we are the way we are. It's kind of like skinny dipping. It's raw. It's vulnerable. It feels naked. It feels scary. And I'm not going to deny that, like, diving into all these things that we're going to talk about today isn't scary, but it's just about having the bravery to do it anyway. So that's kind of me. I'm Kayla Rose. I'm 24. I'm from Maui, Hawaii, and I'm the podcast host of Skinny Dipping, and I'm so excited to be here today.
I'm so happy you're here, and I love the message behind your title, because I think that mental health in general was never really talked about until, like, quarantine COVID times, like that crazy
time. It's so
true. Like, it was never spoken about. I never listened to podcasts about it or read books about it. And now I feel like people are really, like, talking about it. And I love that people are talking about it, because it's like, there should be no fear of being emotional or vulnerable or like admitting when things hurt you. Because I grew up in a very tough love household and, like, a tough love family and a tough love culture where it's like, you can't be sensitive, you can't be emotional. Like, I never was, like, emotional growing up in, like, elementary school. Like, I was never, like, the one getting made fun of. Like, I was always, like, the more, like, leader one that, like, didn't care what people thought of me. And I think as I'm getting older, I'm becoming more, like, sensitive and, like, trying to be more, like, kind to people, because people don't strip down those emotions. People kind of keep them bottled in, too. And I think that it's, like, important to just be your truest and kindest self, so that when people aren't stripping down those emotions, you're able to kind of, like, spread a little kindness to them when they need it.
Yeah, and understanding and giving people grace. And when you give other people understanding and grace for their emotions, you give yourself grace. Because I notice when I'm, like, being judgy of somebody else and what they're going through, it's really because I actually have a discomfort towards my emotions. Yeah. And it's really about me. And I think the way that we interact with people, the way that we interact with our relationships, with our partner, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our, you know, with our school friends – really does stem from the relationship with ourself first. And that's why mental health is so important, because it impacts every single area of your life. And I totally agree. Like, COVID and quarantine, that was like a big like wake up for everyone to realize, like, okay, like, when the world isn't go, 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 and we are forced to look inward in this way, a lot of us were actually, like, deeply struggling emotionally and mentally and didn't know how to deal with it. And it's so cool that so many people dove into learning about themselves and listening to podcasts and reading books to learn more about their mental health, because it's just needed.
Like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I feel like in my household growing up, I can totally relate to the tough love, and more so like toxic positivity, where my parents would be like, everything's fine, you're fine, everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And what would happen is, I feel like I naturally am a very emotional person. I feel like I've always been that person. I'm interested to see, like, if like, do you consider yourself an emotional person, like, on the inside?
I don't.
You seem like pretty chill, like, levels.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna lie, grounded. I get more upset for, like, a friend going through something. Like, I have never I don't cry in front of my friends. I don't, like, if something happens, like, where it's like I should be crying, I can't do it. Like, I think I've cried in front of people once, and it's like, I don't know what it is that I don't like showing it, because on my podcast I'll talk about it, but then I won't, like, in person cry, and, like, I don't get really affected by what people really say about me. Like, I might seem like it, and then I'm just like, I don't care, and it doesn't go over my head once. So I definitely wouldn't say I'm emotional. My mom is super emotional, but my dad is like, I'm my dad 100%. So he's not. He's very like, get over it, and that's it.
Totally. And when that's what we're taught, it's nothing is like right or wrong or good or bad. You know, it's just like how we've been raised and how we are. Are you the type of person though, like, because I won't really cry in front of my friends either. Like, like, I'm just private.
Yeah,
I'm private.
Me too.
I love when my friends cry in front of me. The crazy thing is, like, I want to offer them such like grace and space, and I'm like, I'll hold you while you cry. It's okay. Like, let it out. But with me, I'm like quite private actually. But I also agree that when I get on the mic, that's when I like feel safe to get vulnerable. So yeah, I can definitely relate to that in my household. Super interesting, because I feel like my parents were very calm and non-emotional and didn't want to really deal with emotions. So I feel like I just had a lot of pent-up emotions. And what would happen is, I didn't really feel comfortable feeling sadness. So because of that, therefore, I would kind of bottle it up. And as it was bottled up, it would end up almost exploding. Like, I would get really frustrated or really irritated or very like angry at like my parents or like, or at myself. And it was just like, I was very frustrated, and I was like, damn, why am I so angry? Like, I'm not an angry person. Like, I literally sometimes, like, most of the time I'm sunshine. So I was like, why in private do I get so frustrated and so irritated and so hot-headed? And that's where my mental health journey really began, because I was like, my boyfriend was like, okay, Kayla, like, you got to go to, like, therapy or something. Like, because it would just be, like, 0 to 100. All of a sudden, I would just be, like, so chill. And then a little thing would happen, and I would, like, break. And I was just like, yeah, you're right. I do need to go to therapy. And by going to therapy and beginning to learn about myself, I realized that the suppression of the sadness was bubbling up and wanted to explode, because I wasn't able to just feel sad sometimes. I never felt sadness. I never really cried. I never really expressed that I was sad in general. I would never like claim the emotion of sadness. So I went, because I was like, damn, I'm so frustrated all the time. But I realized, oh, I'm actually just quite uncomfortable feeling uncomfortable emotions.
And are you good at communicating those emotions? Like, if you and your boyfriend got into a fight, are you good at communicating how you feel?
Yes, but I would say that I'm vocal, but the way that I communicate it, I think I've gotten a lot better. I've been on this mental health journey for like, four years now, four and a half years now. And I think I'm a lot better now. But before, I would just really tell him, like, this is what I feel, this is what I want. And it wasn't a conversation.
Yeah.
It wasn't two people trying to work something out. It was me just expressing rather than having a literal conversation with him, if that makes sense. So I feel like I can be vocal, but that doesn't mean I'm communicating, because if it's not communicated with kindness, I realize no one hears you, which yeah. I took a while to understand. Like if I raise my voice, no one's gonna hear me. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I raised my voice because I wasn't heard as a child. So yeah. I thought that's what I needed to do. But actually, when we get calm and we get quiet, people actually listen to us mm-hmm. way more, and they take us seriously yeah. and they take our feelings seriously. So it's been a journey, but now I do feel like communication is key, and I'm really proud of myself, honestly. I feel like I've just changed a lot. Like everyone yeah. in my life is like, wow, you've really evolved and changed.
That's amazing. And that's good that he held you accountable for, like, you need to go to therapy. How long have you been with him before your journey?
So we've been together 8 years.
Wow.
And we broke up for like 9 months at mm-hmm. some point because we were doing long distance. But it's definitely a long term. Like he's like my life
yeah.
partner. Sometimes it like scares me so much because I'm like, we're so young. Like, yeah. What are we doing? Like we'll talk about that more on like relationships on yeah. when you come on Skinny Dipping too, mm-hmm. because I feel like we can relate on that, like long term relationships. But there's definitely so many things where I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes it just blows my mind. I'm yeah. like, that's crazy.
It's great that you can just be your own person, though. Like, you have, like, even though you've been in a relationship for so long, I feel like when people are in a relationship that long, they don't know themselves without their partner, but you seem very independent. Like, you have your own business. You're not depending on him for, like, things in the future, and I really like that, and I feel like that comes with just loving yourself and, like, being on your own journey. Like, being on your own journey when you're in a relationship is very difficult. It's very, yeah. very difficult. So that's amazing that you got through that and that you have a partner that's, like, forcing you to grow and, like, telling you, like, you need to go to therapy.
Oh, yeah, and don't get me wrong, guys. Like, he went to therapy, too, eventually, because it was, like, a couple years later and I was, like, okay, well,
we all end up in therapy.
Yeah, I was like, I'm changing, I'm evolving, I'm growing. Like, you can come with me or I'm leaving, or the train's leaving without you, babe. So you can go to therapy and work on yourself too, because all of a sudden then his insecurities were affecting our relationship. And it was like, if you have insecurities, like, yes, we can work on that as a team, but also that is a you problem. That's like a personal thing that we individually need to work on for our relationship to be better.
Yeah. I always say the relationship with yourself affects all the others. So if you don't have a good relationship with yourself, it's going to affect your partner, your friends, your family members. And I, even with close friendships, like I've outgrown so many people because I'm on a journey and you're on a journey where we're growing, we're evolving, our business is evolving, we're just evolving as people in general. And the other people aren't catching up. They're not keeping up. And it's like not even a conceited thing where it's like I'm up here and you're down here. It's like I'm trying to be up here, but you're okay with staying down there. And I'm not okay with staying down there.
Damn. And that's so true. It's like not even like, oh, I'm better than you or anything like that. It's just genuinely being around people who want to be better. It's not about them being better. It's about them having that desire that and ethic, acting on it. And that's definitely, I've definitely outgrown so many friends that I thought would be my friends for fucking life.
And like, it's heartbreaking. It sucks because it you really try to tell them, like, I have friends that I've tried to tell, like, you should be doing this and this and this. And then they do the same patterns. And you do the same patterns, you get the same results. And it's like, you can't surround yourself with people that are, like, minimizing you. It's like, I always say, if you're the smartest person in the room, find another room, because you're not going to grow. You're going to be okay with, like, staying still.
Totally. And like I've noticed, especially being on the mental health journey, a lot of my friends have like come along on the journey as well and discovered it in their own ways. And like those are the friends that I've continued to have strong relationships with, because we are such different people and we're growing and changing and evolving, but we're growing and changing and evolving on the same path. And then also something that I've really been thinking about lately in terms of losing people that I thought, like, you know, that were high school friends that went into college and like we went on trips together, and it's just like we've been friends for so long and I thought we'd be friends forever. Like, genuinely loving people, loving and leaving people where they're at and accepting them and being like, okay, you know what, like, people just grow apart. I'm not gonna judge you. I'm not gonna hate you. I don't even want to have like a falling out. Like, we just grow apart, and that's okay. And I'm gonna respect where you're at, and just for me, choose better and focus on me. That's been a big mindset shift for me, because I feel like I would hold on to those people so hard and be like, oh, like, just take it so personally, take them not changing or them acting in a certain way like so personally. Yeah. And I just had this realization. I was like, I just got to accept them where they're at. And then from there, I can choose, do I want them in my life or do I not want them in my life? And it doesn't have to be like a big falling out. I feel like I've had big falling outs with people that I love. But I've realized recently as I get older, I'm like, you know what? You can just grow apart.
You have to be a little selfish and you have to be able to tell yourself, like, this person is not making me grow. And even, like, experiencing people who, like, want not the best for you. Like, there is unfortunately people you could be friends with for years and you can just tell that. I always say, like, when people are talking good about you, pay attention. Like, if you're in a crowded room and there's people like, oh, you're doing so great with your podcast, like, pay attention to the person that's quiet. Pay attention to the person that's uncomfortable. But then when people are picking jokes at you, pay attention to the person whose ears are open. Like, there's people, and I think that a lot of the time when it comes to people who, like, grew up with us or people that we're just close with, when you get successful, when you start rising and growing, it scares them because they're thinking to themselves, I started at the same point that this person did, and they're there, and I'm here. And that's why you get more support from strangers, you know?
Chills. I just got chills when you said that.
Because I always think, like, how many people I thought I was going to be friends with for years, and now I'm like, wow, they never wanted the best for me, and it's it shows, and it's, like, very obvious.
I'm getting so many chills. When I get chills, I feel like it means truth in my body, because that resonates so
you think you're thinking of someone right now. You're like,
of course I'm thinking of someone. Of course I am. And, like, no, literally, like, a best friend of mine, like, I can't even say that that's them anymore, but literally told me to my face multiple times, I don't like when you talk about your successes because it makes me feel super insecure. Can we us just, like, dead silent? And then, and also, is this so bad for me to say? I'm like, I hope they never see this, but oh well. And then literally we went to this photo shoot with this photographer that this person knew. And afterwards, the photographer loved me and we were, like, chit-chatting and everything. And literally, like, we were driving home and she starts to cry. And it was like, you're just so good with people. And he just liked you, like, he, like, I just feel like I just introduced you to him and he just likes you so much better. And I was like, what are you talking about? He loves you too. Like, he's the only reason we're here is because he wants to shoot with you and I'm just coming along for the ride. What do you mean? And she's, like, crying, and then I'm comforting her. But in the back of my mind, like, I'm like, okay, you're telling me straight to my face that you are evil-eyeing me. That's why I wear this, baby, because I'm like, people, like, it doesn't matter how much you think somebody loves you. Like, sometimes their own insecurity gets in the way, and then they wish you unwell.
And then when they make that one comment where you're like, oh, my God. Like, that, like you said, the evil eye thing. Like, I've had, like, times where, like, constant bad things will happen to me for, like, a week or a month, and I'm like, who around me is wishing this on me? And then I'll be around someone, and they'll say something, and something will, like, trigger in me, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, you don't want me to have this. You don't want me to be happy about this. And, like, everything hits you, and it's honestly heartbreaking. It's scary. I'm always saging. I have my Bible and my
sage. Your Bible saging. And your sage.
Oh, my Bible and my sage all day. I'm, like, reading my Psalms. I'm, like, saging around anytime that someone comes over because I'm just, like, I can't deal. My sister and my family will make fun of me because I'll walk around the whole house with my sage, and they're just like, just another Liv. She's probably, someone pissed her off today. I sage my clothes. I sage everything, but like you said, like, her telling you your successes make her insecure. It's honestly very heartbreaking because that is a total reflection of her. And I feel like that's not even something that you can get sad about because you're just like, it's confusing. You're
no,
just
I was shook.
What? Yeah, like, I wouldn't, like, even I'm get sad. Shook. I don't think I'd get sad. I think I'd just be like, oh.
No, okay. I literally said, honestly, I really hope, like, you can learn how to support me. Like, that's what I said. I was, like, so straight
and
up.
And she won't be able to support you until she likes herself. No one who likes themselves is saying something like that. Like,
totally.
I would never, like, let's say we were friends and, you know, I don't have a podcast. Or, like, let's say I had a podcast that had, like, no followers. If I, like, didn't like myself, I'd be like, oh, she's recording at Spotify. Like, that's so annoying. Like,
no,
what?
Literally. And that's so why weird. It's so important to be mindful who you share things of. Who you share things with before they happen. I feel like that is so key. Yep. Is like, who are you sharing things with before they happen? Make moves in silent because you don't know. You know. But you don't know sometimes. Sometimes it's sneaky. Like, who's wishing you unwell and who doesn't want you to, you know, achieve everything that you are meant to. And it's confusing because you think it's, you know, the people that you love and you care about and you want the best for them. So you think that they want the best for you, but it's not always the case. And it's really important. Like, before I share anything that I'm working on with anyone, I always, like, mentally check in. And I'm like, should I share this with them? Yep. Like, consciously. Don't just, like, share everything that you're going through, that you're experiencing. Even, like, personal mental health things that you're going with. Like, be mindful and definitely trust some people. Like, yeah. have, like, a couple people that you know are your homies and they'll always hype you up. But definitely, definitely be mindful. Like, I even had a situation last night where my best friend, my guy best friend, he wanted to see, like, a project I've been working on, but his partner was there, and I was like, I just really didn't want to show. I wanted to show him, but yeah. I didn't want to show his partner.
Which is understandable.
Totally, because I just know that his, like, partner, like, kind of can be insecure, and I was like, I don't need any bad juju. Like, this is an mm-hmm. important project to me. But my best friend was like, I really want to see it. So I was like, okay. So I totally did, and immediately afterwards, I was like, okay, like, where was the hype?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, where was the hype? Like, from both of them. Yeah. I was just, like, a little bit. I just always, like, whenever that happens, like, you know, I remind myself in the future to check in and be like, mm-hmm. okay, don't share anything till it's done. Make moves in silence. And also, I'll literally be like, I'll just claim it. I'll be like, if there's any bad energy, anybody wishing me unwell, like, I return it back to the sender. That's what yeah. I'll, like, say out loud. And I went to the bathroom and I said that, and I felt so much better. Because I was like, okay, yes, other people's energy can affect my energy. But at the end of the day, like, I'm in the driver's seat of my own yeah. life. And as long as I energetically, like, protect myself and also take care of myself and know my worth, then their insecurities, like, can't
yeah,
really
it only affects
me.
You if you let it. Me and my friend Emma recently have been talking so much about being private and not talking mm-hmm. about guys before we go on dates with them or before they put a ring on it, actually, we should say from now on. Like, I always see TikToks and it's like when I'm screaming my man to my friends and all of a sudden he doesn't talk to me anymore. And it's like, it's so true. Like, things really do go to shit when you talk to people about them sometimes, whether it's a guy or even coming to the studio today. I think I told my friends like 2 days, but like after you confirmed it, I was like, okay, now I'll be excited and be like, I'm recording at Spotify with Kayla Rose. But like, I waited because I was like, not that I think my friends have my intent, like, bad intentions, because the two girls that I would tell are like my two, like Helen and Emma are like my two closest friends. Like, I know that they have no bad intentions with me, but it's just like even putting it out there, like,
yeah.
you just don't know. So like, I feel like for me, like I said, me and my friend Emma have been talking so much recently just about keeping things private, not knowing people's intentions, and just as much as you love someone, as much as you care for someone, as much as you know someone cares for you, there's no need to tell people things. Like, people, mm-hmm. you don't owe an explanation to anyone. No one needs to know what you're going through mentally and emotionally. And I think the older you get, the more you realize it's only you. Like, you're yeah. the only one that has to focus on what you have. And when things happen, great, you can get the claps and the congratulations. Mm-hmm. But just do it in private. I think private. And I try to be more private, but I can't shut up. Like, I know,
that's what I struggle with. I'm an oversharer.
Me too.
I'm like, girl, I have ADHD. I'm an oversharer. Yeah. I don't think before I speak sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that makes sense. We both have a podcast. Yeah. Like, that's why we're here.
Exactly.
Like, it's because we love to talk. So to keep things in is like so hard.
It is hard. And I think I'm a big communicator. When I feel a certain way, I'm not going to hold back. I will confront the situation right away. If someone makes me upset, you're hearing about it right away. And I'm telling you exactly what you did, exactly how you made me feel, and we're going to fix it. Yeah, like, that's how I am. And I think recently, I've been trying to just be more, like, chill. Like, give myself, like, a five-minute rule. Is this going to bother me in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days? Like, if it's not, it's not worth bringing up, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that I've been trying to be more, like, relaxed. And like I said before, your energy is relaxing. Like, when I listen to your podcast, I want to be sitting on a beach, like, like, just calm down. Like, you're very good at talking about releasing energy, which I want to talk about, releasing negative energy. So when you said you found yourself in that situation where you just said returning it to the sender, what are your tips for anyone listening that kind of has really stressful or anxious moments in public or, like you said, with family and rushes up to their room? How do you kind of advise that they release that negative energy?
Wow, that is honestly one of the best questions somebody's asked me in a long time, because it's so important. And I think something I love to emphasize in Skinny Dipping on the podcast is – I love the actionable tips. Like, I love the actionable advice. I'm like, we can talk about things in theory all day long, but how do people actually do it? So I'm just going to give some, like, tips and tricks that work for me to ground my energy, to clear my energy. Of course, like, we love a good little, like, incense, Palo Santo, sage moment. Because at the end of the day, you can take any of these rituals or any of these practices that I'm going to say after this, and it's really just about the intention. Like, if you are genuinely setting the intention to release energy, to calm your energy, to protect your energy, just by setting the intention in your mind, you don't even have to say it out loud. You don't even have to write it down. Of course, that's nice too, if that like helps you focus and helps you concentrate on what you're trying to do. But just by setting the intention, you're already beginning to unravel the problem subconsciously. Mm-hmm. So I think simply by doing these things, yes, doing them on the things on the outside, like it is helpful, but also it's really the intention that protects your energy. Like literally just saying to yourself, like, I protect my energy. Something I've really been saying to myself recently is only my energy can impact me. And the reason I say this is because somebody told me the other day that they're really struggling. This was like on a call that I have on my Soul in Progress community. We were doing like a little full moon, like release vibe. And and I was like, I asked her, okay, like what would you say to yourself? What would be an affirmation that you can say that would protect your energy because you're letting a lot of people's energy impact you? And she said, other people's energy doesn't affect me. Other people's energy doesn't impact me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, when you say it doesn't, and when you say like the word don't, and when you give the negative, the brain actually hears the opposite. Like the brain hears do that thing, not don't. So what we need to do is positively affirm. So saying instead of other people's energy doesn't impact me, instead when you tell your brain, I only impact my energy. I am the only one that can impact my energy. I'm the only one that can impact my emotions. When you say that, that positively like affirms that. Yeah. And the brain understands that because the brain genuinely doesn't understand don't. Like it just like crosses the word out. It just doesn't even comprehend it. Also something that I really love for releasing, especially fiery energy, like is breath work. Breath work.
So underrated.
So underrated. And it's also, I saw somebody posted and they're like, it's going to be like the gateway for mental health in so many like schools and systems because it is a form of meditation, but it's something that you're physically and actively doing. So people aren't scared of it because it's like, okay, I'm going to go and do this breath work and I'm going to participate in something and I have to like follow the structure of it. And it is meditation, but it's not just like sitting there.
Yeah.
And like in silence. Yeah. Because people have a lot of resistance to that, obviously, because the world's very stimulating. So, of course, like, we don't want to just, like, sit down. So to actually come into a space with yourself, and I love Wim Hof. That's my favorite go-to, and I feel like I just do that without the video, but also there's a really good 10-minute Wim Hof video on YouTube. I also love the app Open for breath work. There's a bunch of – there's also the breath work app.
You can find so many free sources. Like, people who say, like, oh, I don't have this for that. It's so – it's all free now.
YouTube, baby. Also, YouTube, and even like probably on where you listen to like your music and podcasts, there's probably breathwork videos and things like that. So, what breathwork does is it really resets our nervous system. And when we're in that panic mode, whether it comes out in anxiety or frustration or like panic or whatever's happening, or just feeling very like ungrounded and unsteady, usually it's because like our nervous system is just like confused shot. And shot. Exactly. That's the exact word that I was going to use. And then I was like, what does that make sense?
I read it.
You read it in my mind. Yes. No, your nervous system is shot. Yeah. And it's also in shock.
Yeah.
Like it is just like our nervous system is very confused nowadays because it's just like not made for the stimulating
we're nonstop.
Society.
We are nonstop.
Exactly. So I think breath work is so powerful. Is so powerful. Oh my gosh. And even just taking deep breaths. Like I know it's so simple, but it's like a deep breath, a deep sigh, like an audible sigh. Like if you like go and you breathe all the way in and you're like, and then you just let your shoulders drop and you're like, and you just shake your body. That also begins to reset your nervous system. So it doesn't have to be this long, complicated thing. Just take a deep audible sigh. Also, another tip and trick, and this is going to be the last one that I give right now because I don't want to overwhelm you with too many. I'm like, I have all the tips and tricks, but
definitely listen to her podcast episode to get more details. Yeah,
more details. But some kind of like, it's called vocal toning. And basically, it's just like you can like just hum to yourself, or if you like to like sing.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's like, like you can just like hum, or people like do mantras, like people say like om and things like that. But even like any sort of like vocal stimulation, vocal, just like humming to yourself, maybe singing a song or humming your favorite song.
Yeah.
What that does is when you hum, it activates the vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve is really important in science for calming our nervous system, because what it does is it activates our parasympathetic nervous system, which is basically our rest and digest, mm-hmm. which is what we're not getting enough of lately, because none yeah. of us are resting and we're all in the go.
Yeah.
So when we hum, it activates the vagus nerve, which turns on the parasympathetic nervous system, which makes us just feel more relaxed. And it's like a body hack. Like, your body's going to do it. You don't have to yeah. think your way into the solution. You just need to work with your body to calm it down.
Yeah. And I like you how you were talking about our brains, and our brains listen to our body. They always say, if you're sad, look in the mirror and smile for like 10 minutes, and your brain will start to think that you're happy. Like, you can wow. trick your brain into like thinking things. And this is why I love like affirmations and all that stuff, because you're telling yourself what you're going to feel. You're telling yourself what you're going to think. And breath work I've been getting into recently. And now I catch myself, like, I'll be walking like in a like anxious situation, whether I'm on a walk or whatever, and I start to feel a little anxious or something. I do like I do this one breath work thing where I think it's like a 4 inhale, like 2 hold, 7 exhale or something like that. It's like my favorite. And I like will do that over and over again. And your brain literally starts to release stress and anxiety. Like, you feel yourself calm down. And there's this other hack. I'm a very, like, I get anxious a lot. So I always look at, like, the anxious hacks. Yeah.
Me too, baby. Yeah. I understand deeply.
There's this, like, one thing, if you're, like, watching on video, where you hold your thumb like this. And, like, you hold it, like, tight, but not too tight. And it's, like, you don't, like, you probably don't feel a pulse if you're anxious. But then if you, like, sit there and you just breathe, you'll start to feel, like, your hand, like, throbbing a little bit. No, and then you're like, wait, I'm coming back to earth. And you get more, like, grounded in, like, your emotion.
Wow. No, yeah. I love that, because that's also a really good way. Anything that connects you to your 5 senses, that's going to calm you down and calm your anxiety, like, so much. So even, like, there's, like, the 5-4-3-2-1 method,
I love that one. When someone's having, like, an anxiety attack, you're, like, 5 things you see, 4 things you hear, 3 things you saw. I'm, like, yes, I need that.
Totally. Like, tapping into your senses. And that makes sense, because I feel like when you hold your thumb, you're not going to feel – it's not that the pulse isn't there, because obviously you're alive. You're just not paying attention to the pulse, because you're in your mind.
Exactly.
But as soon as you tune in, you're like, oh, I'm present. And that's why, like, they talk about, like, the power of now and, like, presence, and why that is so important for peace and joy and happiness.
Something else I wanted to ask, are you an essential oil girl? Because we were just talking about, like, holistic ways to heal ourselves. Do you like essential
oil?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, peppermint essential oil for my headaches. I bring it. My friends, like, will be like, oh, I'm already rolling it on their temples. I'm like, don't worry. Literally yesterday, my friend came over. She's like, I have a head. Before she could finish her sentence, it's out and I'm rolling it on her temples.
Oh, my gosh. That's, like, such a love language for me. Yeah. Like, I feel like, yes, I love peppermint oil. I used to use it all the time in university. But then, like, the peppermint would also, like, leak into my eye sometimes. Oh my God. I would, like, you know, you put it on your temples and then, like, you accidentally rub your eye and then you're like, oh, my God, my eye's burning. And then I love orange. Orange is a favorite essential oil of mine.
Because, what does it, like, do?
Yeah, it's supposed to stimulate, like, joy and happiness. Oh. Like, it's just, like, a very uplifting, like, energizing smell. Yeah. And I actually used it all the time, but – fun fact, guys, and I feel like I've never said this on the podcast, because this happened in July, but I had no idea this happened. I basically, like, put essential oils on my wrist, and then I went out in the sun, and I got an acid burn, and it literally burnt my skin. Like, look at this.
Oh, no.
It's still healing, but just to let everyone know, don't squeeze lemonade and go out in the sun, or put essential oils that are, like, citrus-based and go out in the sun, because when it activates... when the sun hits it, like, activates something that literally burns you. But anyway, besides that, I love essential oils. The most important thing, though, is if we're putting it on our skin, they have to be good quality. Because some are just, like, not good quality, and then we, like, put it on our skin. But the ones that, you know, are so-so quality, you can, of course, like, put in your diffusers and stuff like that. I've just, like, learned my lesson in a lot of hard ways.
Yeah.
But I love that you're just, like, an essential. Do you have, like, the little sage roller?
Like, I do, yeah. I'm just not, like, a medicine girl. Like, if I have a headache, I'm not taking an Advil. I'm rolling peppermint essential oil on my head, and that's it.
And drinking water.
It's
like, we just are probably dehydrated or hungry.
I'm very, like, holistic with health. Like, I don't really love, like, Western medicine. Like, I don't have anything, like, super against people that want to do all that stuff. But me personally, I like to handle things very holistically and, like, not take shots or just all that stuff. Take medicine. Yeah. Like, for my skin, they tried to put me on, like, so many things. And I used to take everything when I was younger, like, spironolactone, birth control, whatever you wanted to give me to clear my skin up. And for the past few years, I'm like, I can't believe I ever took birth control. Like, it actually scares me that I ever took it for anyone that takes it, I'm personally not for it. I think that your hormones should be functioning and, you know, you should try to find other ways. Mm. But, like, for me personally, I can't go on anything like that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was like, wait, should I bring this up? But I was going to ask you if you're on birth control because, like, yeah. I also was on birth control for, like, 5 years. Like, especially being in a long-term relationship, mm-hmm. like, it's something that, you know, everyone kind of convinces you that you need. But, I mean, I went off, like, 2 years ago and is the best thing that I ever did for yeah. myself. Like, my body thanks me every day that I don't have this, like, forced fake period. But it's also scary. Respect to anyone who, you know, like, yeah.
everyone's
got to
do what they got to do.
Everyone's got to do what they yeah. got to do. And, like, I'm all for everyone doing that. I just know for me, it personally, like, killed my libido. Mm. Like, that's why I went off of it because I was, like.
It made me depressed.
Really?
Oh, I was depressed on it. I was only on it for 9 months. Only 9 months.
And so you were like, this is the culprit because yeah. it like lined up. 9 months,
gained weight, skin didn't clear up, got depressed. That it was sucked. Horrible. Yeah, it
fuck,
was the worst.
Fuck birth control.
And I probably could have tried a different one, but I was like, I just have, like, I don't want to be dependent on something. And then when I quit, is like my skin going to come back? Mm. Like, I just don't want to worry about that.
No, totally. And in those situations, like, I feel like we could look at it and be like, oh, like, that sucks, that happens. Or you could be like, I'm so glad that didn't work out because yeah. now I can like find what the root cause is.
What's, yeah, now what, I'm forced yeah. to have a healthier lifestyle to try to clear my skin.
Rather than like covering up with the like the bandage of
exactly
birth control.
Which this yeah. whole society is a quick fix, like put a bandage on it and figure it out, and I can't gosh. Be like that.
I know. Everything. It's so like the instant gratification and just like needing to figure things out now and like covering things up, and it's like, no, if we want to heal ourselves from the inside out yeah. we need to find the root cause, and that goes with physical health but also like mental health. Like I said before, like in the very beginning, like circling back, like I thought I was, like, irritated or irritable or just, like, got frustrated really easily, mm-hmm. but it was just, like, covering up. It wasn't the root cause. Like, yeah. the root cause underneath the anger actually was anxiety, I realized. I actually, like, forgot to say that. But underneath anxiety was, like, sadness.
Yeah.
But first was the anxiety. So it's, like, we do all these, like, little cover-ups, and we think, like, even taking medication, you know, is going to like solve our mental problems. And it's yeah. like, obviously some people do need that. And I will say it's a nuanced conversation. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, like, I don't want to take anything because I want to get to the root cause
exactly,
of like, why am I feeling unfulfilled in life, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think you grow through trying to heal it rather than just taking a pill and fixing mm-hmm. it. Like those weight loss pills that are coming out. It's like, what are you getting from that? Like, okay, you're going to lose the weight, but like, you're not growing in any way. Like if you were going to the gym and eating healthy, like then you're growing in the way. I always say, like, you don't grow through the end goal, you grow through the journey to get there. You don't grow through the result. So I'm not like a big believer in like doing things fast and quick. Like I love enjoying the journey of it.
Wait, I literally love that. Yeah. So you're just so brilliant. I like love talking to you. I'm obsessed with you. I'm in love.
We're in love. Okay, so as much as we're talking about calmness, being calm and just being mindful, I also want to talk about motivation because as yes. much as you are a mindful, peaceful, zen woman, you are also a businesswoman, you are a hardworking woman. Mm-hmm. So how do you find the balance to be both? Because it is not easy to be go, 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 and also to stay grounded.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's been such a journey for me. Like, Olivia, it's been such a journey mm-hmm. because I was such a hustler for so long. And you know what? I thank that old version of myself because I don't know if I would necessarily be right where we are now if I wasn't once, like, this crazy yeah. hustler that was just go, go, go. But I will say I'm just not really her anymore, and it's been a huge adjustment. I think for so long I was motivated by the external. I'm sure so many people can relate to this. Like in school it was grades, and then it transferred to accolades in business, and I just wanted validation from others, and I was like motivated by how other people would perceive me for so long. I was like, I need to do this and this and this because then I'm going to look like I'm really successful yeah. and then I'm going to feel really successful and that'll make me feel good enough. And when I started my mental health journey, I was like, oh, wow, like I actually don't have to do anything to be good enough. Like, yes, it feels good to put work into yourself. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that's not true. And it feels good to put energy and time into your passion and into your work. And it feels good to girl boss. Like, I love to girl boss. But when it's the source of your self-validation and self-love and self-worth, like, that's when we know we are lost. And I was really lost. So I think over the last 4 years, I've been deeply healing this self-worth piece and the self-concept piece, being like, okay, you know what? None of these things really are me. Like, none of these successes or accolades or even, like, obviously, like, it's fucking awesome. Like, we're at Spotify right now, but that's not me. And, like, even if we didn't have that, that wouldn't take away from how great of a podcaster I am, you know? And reminding myself of those things. And it's been really a journey. And once I kind of began to remove that external motivation from validation, I kind of really struggled with my motivation. For the first time in my life, I feel like all my friends know I'm an action-based person. When I set my – I, like, know that you're like that too, right?
Yeah.
Like, when I set my
Your
mind
whole
to something,
journey right now, I'm like, wow, that's me.
Wait, yeah. Like, I when you were talking earlier, I was like, wait, I relate to you so much.
Yeah.
I was very action-based, and I still am, and I still will get things done. But when I began to heal that part of myself and realize that I am inherently worthy and I don't have to do or be or achieve literally anything to be worthy, because I was born worthy. We were all born worthy. Like we are literally, like, created in such a divine way. Like, it is almost impossible that all of us exist, and yet here we are. Like, we are worthy and we are important, and you don't have to do, be, or achieve anything. But when that happened and I began to shift that mindset, I began to struggle to, like, find internal motivation because I was like, whoa, I was just, like, motivated by, like, stress and hustle and pressure for so long. Now where do I find motivation? Like, so that's been a journey for me in the last, like, year after deeply healing that self-worth piece. And now I'm learning how to develop intrinsic motivation, which is a journey, but it's a motivation that comes from a place of, I'm doing this because I love myself, rather than external motivation. I'm doing this because I hate myself and I need to prove to myself that I'm lovable.
Yeah, it's the difference of life is doing this for you, not to you. Like,
exactly.
Even the bad, it's happening for you. It's not happening to you. And I love everything that you just said. And I said in the beginning, I zone out when I'm like, wow, like, because I, same thing. Like, I grew up always hardworking. Oh, I've been trying to make my own business since I was like 13 or 14 years old.
Yes, girl
boss. Yeah, it was always something, like you said, I based who I was based off the reactions I was getting from what I was doing. Mm. It's like, oh, if these people are proud of me and these people are saying I'm successful, then I feel successful. Mm. And you base everything off of achievements and off of opinions, and you don't look at who you actually are and what you're actually doing. And it's like, you get to a point where it's like, Spotify will say you're number one at charts, but you feel lazy and unmotivated, but you're more so, like, dependent on that. Like, you know, you're like, oh, but that's, I'm still number one or whatever it is. And it's like, internally, it's so important. And like you said, feeling worthy of, like, being here and knowing that, like, you're here, like, you were chosen to be here. Like, for me, I'm very religious. I always say, like, God looked at the world and he decided it needed one of you. Like, and that's just
chills.
Like,
chills.
It's so true. Like, your friends, they have you. They chose you. Your boyfriend, he chose you. You know, it's like, it's seeing your worth is so difficult, especially in a world like this where everything is oversaturated. Even our podcast, it's like, how many people are out there talking about mental health and wellness and all that stuff, but there's people that are listening to us, like people that chose us.
Yeah.
And when you remind yourself of that and you don't think of the numbers and you just think of there's people out there choosing me, you start to choose yourself and, like, realize your worth. And I feel like we went through such similar journeys of, like, I feel like you're more you're better at the whole, like, zen thing. That's something I need to work on, is being a little bit more mindful, but it's motivating.
But I'm like, no, the thing is, the reason that I, like, make an effort to be that is because naturally I'm not. Like, naturally I'm not
the
that
you
person.
You tell yourself you are, you'll turn into it.
Yeah, and also I'm just like, oh, I have to, like, make an effort to be, like, the person that, like, you works out for my mental health and does my breath work and does my meditation and does my grounding and journaling. Mm-hmm. Like, because I know that it makes me sane, and without it, I'm... can be a crazy person.
Yeah.
Like, I can be so fueled by my anxiety, which I, like, I really want to, when you come on skinny dipping after this, I'm like, I really want to also dive into that anxiety journey with you, because I feel like both of us can relate to that. And also I feel like with overachievers and people who are really hard on ourselves, that's a very common theme that I see throughout, like, especially with women, and especially within society, like, women in business, just, like, feeling like within the system that we need to, like, prove a little bit more that we are worthy of being here. And, like, that whole dynamic that, like, societally a lot of us were raised in, I feel like a lot of us have this underlying anxiety, like, fueling us and motivating us, because we're like, oh, I need to be good enough. I need to, like, be the best. And it's just like, all you gotta do is be the best you, babe.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is be the best you and take care of you. And, like, for some people, that's gonna look like being a businesswoman and, like, really, like, you know, it girl energy or whatever. And then some people, it's going to look like, you know, sleeping in and taking care of themselves and resting. Like, rest is productive. And that's something I would like to just say, because I feel like people are like, oh, if I rest, I'm lazy, I'm unmotivated. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, your rest is productive. Your phone can't work unless you recharge it. So, like, how could you?
Especially as a woman. Like, me and my friend were talking about it, because she's like, I feel like I'm always tired. I'm like, it's hormones, babe. We're girls. Like, we're women. Like, they always say women aren't meant to work 9 to 5s because our hormones are not meant to work a 9 to 5.
No.
Like, our bodies are not built for that. Like, we... like, women are born with pain. Women are born with periods. Like, women are born with these things. Like, I always talk about it all the time. As much as I'm a hustler and a hardworking woman, when I have kids, my ass is home. I'm home. I'm taking care of the... I'm a wife and I'm a mom before I'm a businesswoman. Like, I feel like that's what I was put on that earth to do. And this could be with my culture and just being Middle Eastern and, like, having that image. But it's also something that I love. Like, the woman is the brain of the house. Like, I always say, the woman is the heart and the head of the house. She's the one that controls everything.
The matriarchy, baby.
Literally, we are everything. So it's like, as much as I love this hardworking, go, go, go lifestyle, like you said, it's fun sometimes to be in the city and to be go, 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 but you also love being in Hawaii and just being more quiet and
calm. I love to surf. Yeah. I love to just, like, surf with my friends and,
that's
like,
so
play.
That's so cool that you surf, by the way.
Like, I'm just such a play person. I'm like, I want to be in the waves, in the ocean.
You definitely, playing. Like, play mermaids in the ocean.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I wish I could surf.
If you come, I'll teach you and we'll go on small
waves. I can barely swim.
No, that's okay. I mean, we can get you a little floaty.
I'll just take a few pictures on the surfboard and we'll pretend.
No, you got it. Okay, why don't you work on your swimming first? Because I'm not a lifeguard. So I
when we go to the ocean, I mean, maybe it's just because it's the Jersey Shore. I don't go in the waves. I won't.
But also I feel like that's like the Atlantic Ocean. So it's so tough. Different than the Pacific Ocean and also where it's like, protected, like it's not gonna be, I would never take you somewhere choppy or windy or like dangerous. Like, I've taught so I only learned how to surf a couple years ago, but I've taught so many of my friends because it changed my life. It made me realize I can do hard things.
I literally think it's the bravest and coolest hobby. Like, I when people say they surf, I'm like, oh my god.
Like, I surf small waves, but don't get me wrong, even the small waves feel so big when you're first starting, and it built my confidence so much because I realized that I can be scared and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I realized that's what bravery is. Yeah. And that's actually translated not into just like my physical life and what I can do physically, but also just to like my relationships and hard conversations and hard conversations with myself. I'm like, we can do hard things, and it's being scared and doing it anyway. Yeah. And surfing changed my life because I realized, oh, I can be so fucking scared, like literally having panic attacks. Like, I would literally cry panic attack in the water. And now it's my favorite thing in the world. 2-3 years later. And I'm like, wow, like, I can do hard things. I went through this, like, something that I thought I would never be able to do. And now I can do it. And now that translates into, like, every aspect of my life. And I believe you can do it, too. And I'm going to take you.
I need a Hawaii sunrise. That's what I need.
Yes.
I need a Hawaii sunrise in the ocean.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, okay. Just a little tipsy moment. And then you can be on the wave.
Okay.
Well, wait, do you mean a Hawaiian sunrise, like a drink? Or no?
No.
You mean a literal. Okay, no, I think that's, like, a name of a cocktail.
Wait, really? Wait, you're probably
Hawaiian
right.
Hawaiian sunrise.
Like, when I go to Bahamas on vacation, I'm up at 5 a.m. going into the ocean.
I love that.
There's, like, little stingrays all over me. And I'm like, don't touch me. Please.
Wait, that's so cute. I've never seen the stingrays. That's so cute.
They are cute.
But when you come, we'll get sunrise surf in, and I'll literally push you into waves. Like, I won't leave you. Like, it's so good. My friends know we call it KK's Hot Girl Surf School.
Oh, and so cute.
I'm dead serious.
That's so cute.
I'm dead serious. And we'll, like, take our friends and, like, push them on waves. And, like, it's just so exciting seeing somebody catch their first wave.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, that hard. It's just scary.
Yeah, like, it is scary. Like, I'm not a balanced person, so I'll be like this on the surfboard.
Yeah, but you can even, like, ride on your stomach and then try to stand up.
Yeah.
But it's, like, also, it's so beautiful. Like, the water's so clear.
Imagine.
And it feels not like the Jersey Shore, probably.
Yeah, the Jersey Shore is terrifying.
Like, I'd be scared of sharks. Are there sharks?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So
I mean,
scary.
Not, like, swimming by us, but the Jersey Shore has a lot of sharks, especially this summer. I don't know why.
Like, if you were to swim out, that would be, dangerous.
Yeah, very. Like, you can't go, like, past a certain point. Especially this summer, the water was extra dirty and extra, like, wavy. Like, I could barely even get past, like, putting my feet in.
Yeah, that's scary.
It's rough.
I don't like
that. Is Hawaii, like, they don't have sharks?
No, there's sharks, but, like, it's the same thing. Like, if it's muggy and murky water, like, you don't go in because that's when it could be dangerous. But when it's super clear, like, you're very safe, you're not going to see a shark. Like, they like more the murky water, and also the only reasons, like, they don't want to hurt you. Like, they don't want to eat humans.
They don't. Like, they don't like eating humans.
They don't like eating humans. But if it's murky, then they get confused and they think you're a turtle. And then, so you just don't go into murky water. That's just, like, the rules.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but here I feel like it's all murky.
No, it is. It honestly really is. Tough. It's disgusting.
But you have to come to Maui, okay, and I'll share my home with you.
I want to go to Hawaii so bad. So I want to talk to you about morning routines, which I'm excited about because I told myself a few days ago I'm going to be a morning person from now on. Like, I'm going to wake up at 6 or 7 a.m. and I'm going to be a morning person. Mm. So I want to hear about your mindful morning routine, how to become a morning person, and just have, like, a grounded morning.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if becoming a morning person is something I can attest to or talk about at all. I can tell you how to have a mindful morning, mm-hmm, but for me, that's going to look at, like, 9 a.m. Okay. That's not going to look at 6 a.m.
That's still earlier because I sometimes wake up at 11.
Me too, babe. I love to sleep in and I'll still do my morning routine even if it's at 11.
Oh, I love that.
Or even, like, yeah, it's just about, it doesn't matter, like, what time you wake up. Of course, like, there are studies that show certain things, but for me, sleep is so important.
It is.
And I'm going to prioritize sleep over, you know, my workout any day, and I'm going to work out later in the day. That's also the beauty of, like, you know, working for myself, though. Not everyone has that privilege. Yeah. Some people do need to, like, wake up early so that they have that time in the morning before their job. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've really been leaning into finding a way to, how can you regulate your nervous system and how can you prime your subconscious positively for the day in a way that's not going to take an hour, in a way that's not going to take, like, an hour and a half? Because not everyone has that time, like, realistically. Like, mm-hmm, people have lives. And work and kids. And so I'm just, like, been leaning into how can we make it productive, and not productive in a way where it's, like, productivity in the way that we see it. Productive as in it is good for you.
Yeah.
And it primes you for the day in a way where you feel like you love yourself and you already did something to pour into your own cup before pouring into other people's cup. And I think the beauty of setting aside time in the morning is that you're pouring into your cup so that it overflows. So that when you're pouring into other people's cup, you're pouring from an overflowing cup.
You have more to give, yeah.
Yeah, like, we shouldn't be pouring from a cup that is half empty or that's even full. Like, we want to think of everything that we're giving to other people as overflowing from this place that starts within filling up ourselves first. Mm-hmm. And the first couple minutes of the morning, like, the first 5 to 10 minutes of the morning are so important because basically we have these brain waves, and what happens is when we wake up first thing in the morning, we are in theta state. So theta state is really cool because this is how we can access our subconscious. This is, like, all, like, scientific information. This is not some bullshit that I'm spewing. Yeah. Like, this is deep research that I've done and that a lot of people talk about. But we wake up in theta state, and that is when our subconscious is most malleable. It's most, like, suggestive. Like, we can change our deep-rooted subconscious beliefs and mindsets easily when we are in that theta state because our brains are kind of in between, like, sleep and waking reality. Mm-hmm. And when we're in that beta state or alpha state, which is the brainwaves that happen in our waking conscious day, like what we're doing right now, we're probably in alpha state, honestly, because we're talking.
Yeah.
It's a heightened state. Our brains are very active and activated, which I love alpha state. It feels very heightened. Where beta is more like, oh, I'm going about my day, I'm running the motions. And alpha is more like, I'm paying attention to exactly what I'm doing, I'm concentrated. But when we slow it down and we have theta first thing in the morning, we can tap into the subconscious. So that's why listening to affirmations, writing in your journal gratitudes, taking a moment to take a deep breath and literally just calm yourself down, maybe saying a mantra that you say to yourself every morning. When you start your day in this positive way and you suggest to your brain, I love myself. Today's going to be a good day. Show me as good as it gets. I feel confident today. I feel beautiful today. Even if you don't necessarily believe it in that moment, when you begin to reprogram your mind in that theta state, it does tap into your subconscious and it can change it without you even having to, like, actively do anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those first 5 to 10 minutes are so deeply powerful. And I think the first thing that I would suggest anyone to do is to truly choose one activity that starts your day positively, that starts your day in a way that is affirming that you're badass and, like, you got this. And, like, yeah, the day after that, like, might not be perfect, but you are resilient and mm-hmm. you can handle whatever comes to you throughout the day. And just by setting yourself up for success in that way and having an affirmation or a mantra or saying your gratitudes and focusing on seeing and reframing the world in this positive light, that is going to set your entire tone for the day. And this isn't just me saying that. Like, yeah. It's science. So.
It's true.
And it's true and it works. And mm-hmm. it's because we are in that theta state. And that's why it's so important to know. And the reason that I like to emphasize that when I talk about it is because people need to know why. Like, why do I say these affirmations? Why should I do my gratitudes first thing in the morning? Mm-hmm. Why does it even work? Like, not everyone needs that, but I feel like I need to understand. Yeah. So I understand when other people, like, they want to understand why. Yeah. I don't know. Are you the type of person, like, you will do something that's good for you if you know why it's good for you versus just
you need
somebody,
a reason. Like, a reason. Like, why am I waking up at 6 a.m.? Like, what was the reason?
I don't know. You need to wake up at 6 a.m., babe.
Like, when I wake up at 6, I just feel better. Like, I just feel like when I have class at, like, let's say 8 a.m., like, when I wake up at 7 and I'm ready in 5 minutes and leave my house right away, I'm, like the whole day. But if I wake up at 6 and I can do a Joe Dispenza meditation and drink a lemon water, it's like, okay, I can go into the day feeling less tired and, like, more productive and, like, waking up. Like, I'm the worst at when I wake up. I grab my phone right away.
Okay.
Which is the worst thing that you can do because, like you said, the first 5-10 minutes, it should be just, like, you know, your waves are going on and you need to be focusing on something more positive and not have a screen to my face and wonder why I have a headache all day. So that's something I need to work on is waking up earlier and not going on my phone.
Totally. And, like, this is, like, my tip for you because I've thought a lot about this because I also struggle with that. Of course.
Everyone does.
We need to also, first of all, the first thing is give ourselves such deep grace because they create these apps, they create our phones to be addicting.
Mm-hmm.
They pay very smart people, very intelligent people, these big companies, these big multi-billion-dollar companies, they pay very smart people to make it so that we are addicted and we want to pick it up first thing to get that dopamine hit first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, we just need to give ourselves grace. Like, the system is a little bit rigged against us in that moment, but also we have to remind ourselves, like, we have conscious choice and we get to consciously choose what we do, even if it is habit, even if it is that dopamine hit. Because that's really what it is. Like, when we go to our phones, we're looking for that message, that notification, and it gives our brain that dopamine that, honestly, we're all very addicted to this, like, fake, cheap dopamine. And what I will say has worked for me, first of all, getting an app like Opal, like, that literally blocks the apps whatever time you need.
Yeah.
But the most important mindset shift that I think might help you here, might help anyone else. Also, let me say, like, I struggle to go on my phone too, but I would say maybe instead of, like, 7 days out of the week, now I go on my phone, like, 3 out of 7 of the days in the week, first thing in the morning, and then the other days I'm able to consciously choose something else. So the advice that I would give is, like, delay. Just delay. Instead of being like, okay, like, you can't go on your phone in the morning.
Yeah.
Don't go on your phone in the morning. Remember we talked about that earlier. When you say you can't do that, don't do that. All your brain hears is, I want to do that. I'm focusing and fixating on this thing and now I really want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, we're all like children in retrospect.
No, we really are.
You tell a child, like, no, we can't get ice cream. What are they going to do? They're going to scream and cry because all they want is the ice cream.
Yep.
But if you say to them, hey, like, we can get the ice cream in an hour, but first, can we just, like, go on this walk? Can we delay? And then by the time the hour comes and the child wants the ice cream, they've already forgotten because they've removed themselves from that instant gratification. Mm-hmm. So we need to think of ourselves like children and our phones like ice cream.
Yeah, no, I like, like that. I like it's true.
Like, you don't have to take anything away. You just need to add something healthier first. And what I tell myself is, like, okay, first of all, I'm going to go and I'm going to just, like, look outside, even if it's cloudy, even if it's raining, I need to, like, look at the sky because what happens is scientifically our cortisol spike for the day that we need to operate in our day is activated by looking at light photons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why looking at your phone first thing in the morning is going to leave us, like, with a headache, or right before we go to bed at night, it's going to keep us up because it's confusing our chemical levels into thinking, oh, I'm seeing sunshine, so I need to turn my body and brain on for the day.
Yeah.
So it's just making the wave, the natural curvature of our chemicals for the day all, like, wonky and all messed up. So I'll just be like, okay, I'm not gonna look at my phone right now. Maybe I'll have my alarm and then I'll, like, you know, turn it off, and then I'll be like, I just need to delay, and I need to go and just look at the sky for like 2 minutes. And I won't even say, oh, have a 30-minute morning routine before you go on your phone. I'll just be like, 2 minutes, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And even doing that instantly helps you regulate your nervous system for the day. But also, once you get to those 2 minutes, you don't even want your phone as much anymore. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, maybe I should journal for 10 minutes.
It's all habits.
Totally. All habits. And then you delay another 10 minutes. And you're like, maybe I should journal for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and then I can go on my phone. And then I can scroll. And I do allow myself to scroll and go on my phone because that helps with the addiction when I tell myself we're delaying, but we're going to just do it a little bit later. And then 20 minutes goes by. And then I'm like, okay, now I can go on my phone and it won't have such a negative impact on my day.
I like how you said delay and don't cut off, because I think, like, also as humans, we try to do everything, like, we don't take baby steps. Like, if we want to be healthy, the next day we'll go grocery shopping, get a gym membership, wake up early, make a lemon. Like, we do a million things at once, and we, like, think that's going to, like, last. And it's like, this is why you burn out and you don't stay consistent. So I like how you said delay, because it's like, you don't have to tell yourself no, just tell yourself not yet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That is, like, the exact mindset shift, and it makes us actually want to be better rather than just, like, feeling like we're punishing ourselves, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, that's the best advice. And no one even told me that. I just, like, did that through experience. Like, I was like, wow, like, I like to, like, play games with my brain. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to work against you. I'm going to work with it as if you're literally a child. And I'm going to just, like, be like, oh, not yet, sweetie. Like, not yet. Go on your phone in 10 minutes. Oh, like, because I feel like I look at my nephews and, like, what their parents do, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you can have your video game or your iPad in 20 minutes, but maybe let's just go run outside first. And then they go outside, and then they don't even want to play on the iPad. Like, once you're doing something that's good for you, you realize, like, oh, it feels good. I don't even want to go on my phone anymore.
I like that. Yeah, I've done that with, like, even when I babysit. They're like, can I go on my iPad? And the mom's like, don't let them go on their iPad too much. I'm like, let's shower and do this first. And then in an hour, they're, like, knocked out. And I'm like, oh, they forgot about it.
They forgot about the iPad. Yeah. I mean, we're going to forget about the phone. And also, it's okay to go on your phone, just not like first thing in the morning.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. This was such a good conversation. I feel like I'm like, what am I even gonna like title this? Because we talked about so many different things. But I love it because I think that everything we talked about is kind of how our brains are working. Like, we scattered because we're scattered. And I think that the audience and everyone that listens to my podcast, everything we talked about is something that they can relate to in different ways. Before we end off, I like to ask my guest your favorite quote that you live by.
Oh my God. Gosh. Wow.
I'm a big quote girl.
I love quotes too. Okay, my screensaver actually for my phone. I don't know if this is my favorite quote, but it's like my screensaver.
Yeah.
And it's been my screensaver for a while. And it wasn't even something that I found on Pinterest. I literally found the quote and then I created my own screensaver because
I've done that before, yeah.
This quote is so good. And okay, let me try to remember exactly the wording real quick. You are built to handle the pressure that comes with your calling.
Oh, I like that.
That always gives me chills because sometimes I think, like,
Our job is a lot of pressure. Like, owning your own business is pressure. It's all pressure.
Totally. And I just deeply want to help people.
Yeah.
And I always have to remind myself when it feels like too big of a task and just like something, like I'm getting overwhelmed with it. I'm just like, you know what? Like, I wouldn't have this calling, this purpose, this desire to help people if I wasn't built for
it. Exactly. You wouldn't be in this position if you weren't supposed to be.
No, literally, God wouldn't put it in my mind and my heart if I wasn't meant to move forward with it.
Exactly. So, I love that. Yeah, because I think our jobs, there's so much pressure in it, and just especially when we're talking to an audience, there's pressure of what to say and who you're offending. Like, it's very difficult. So I like that because it shouldn't stop you from what you want to achieve.
Yeah, and we are resilient. And, like, if anyone's listening and, like, maybe they don't do exactly what we do or, like, social media or podcasting or things like that, but they also have, like, I feel like you even being in schools and, like, that is, like, such a big pressure and calling and that's a lot to handle. It can feel so overwhelming, but also what you're doing is helping so many people and like we're all built to handle the pressure that comes with our calling.
I love that so much. Thank you so much for coming on. Before we get off, where can people find you, your podcast, Instagram, everything?
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm literally, like, mind blown at this conversation. I feel like it just
dug so much deeper than I thought, and I love it.
Oh my gosh, me too. I love when it just goes a completely different direction. Yeah. And it's just a conversation.
That's
and
how you know it's you're recording with someone good.
That's how I know that I'm recording with an amazing host, though, because I felt like I was so guided in a way.
Yeah.
I've gone on a lot of podcasts, and I just feel so safe to open up around you. So I really do feel that. I really like appreciate that.
Oh, I love that.
I'm an emotional girly. I'm like.
You're so, what, like me and my friends, like when they say something cute, like, well, like you said, when your friends cry, you'll like, you know, rub, like, you're okay. I'm like, they're there. You're okay.
No, I have friends like that too. My best friend that I'm like with here, like he is always. Yeah, like,
unless I'm drunk. If I'm drunk, oh, baby, come here. I'll take care of you.
That's so funny. Yeah. The liquid, yeah. Liquid moment.
Liquid courage.
The best place to go after this would be to listen to you on Skinny Dipping. That's what I would recommend. Skinny Dipping is my podcast. It's my baby. We talk a lot about what we talked about today. So if you enjoyed this, like you probably, mm-hmm. and if you're here till the end, like hopefully you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I love to talk about mental health. I love to talk about energies and energetics of things. But I also love the science of things, if you can't tell.
I love that you know that, though, because I don't know those terms. That, like, I would never think to say those terms you were saying. So I love having that on my show.
That makes me so happy. Like, honestly, it's just self-research and education. Mm-hmm. I studied sociology in school, but I just love learning now that I'm out of school. And, like, maybe you'll find that after you're out of college. Mm-hmm. It took me a couple years, but then I realized, oh, I can be a student in my own right. Like, I can learn about what I actually want to learn about now rather than, like, taking things for credits. Mm-hmm. So I just love learning. So, yeah.
I love that.
So Skinny Dipping the podcast, that is where you will find me. Hopefully things will be linked on here, so it'll be super easy.
Everything will be
guys.
In the description below.
Perfect. Yeah. And then I'm at Sundazed KK on TikTok and on Instagram, and at Skinny Dipping Diaries for the podcast Instagram. And yeah, that's me. I also have a Soul in Progress community. That's the community that I'm building. It's like $5 a month, and there's a lot of resources for breath work on there because I'm certified in breath work. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really cool community with like a feed and a chat space and just people all looking to improve their mental health together. But honestly, if you only want to go to one place, go to the podcast, Skinny Dipping. That's my baby.
Yeah.
It's my baby. It's like the love of my life.
I know.
I'm so grateful for it.
I will link everything in the description below. Thank you again for coming on, and thank you everyone for listening. Let me know how you feel about me doing guest episodes again, because I love guest episodes. Like, I love talking to people so much. But thank you guys so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week.